94.7 WCSX, the Motor City's classic rock station. Here's a guy I've wanted to talk to my whole life, so this is really, really cool for me. And, of course, I'm going to be seeing this show tomorrow night at the Palace of Auburn Hills, the Eagles. And Don Henley joins us. Hi, Don. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, hey, man, congratulations on the new album, Long Road Out of Eden.
Thank you.
And you guys are going to be tearing it up at the Palace this weekend. This album, it was such a long time in the making, 6 years in production. Why so long? And does it have to do with, was there a lot of separation? The way recording studios can be set up now right out of people's homes, and you could just go on a Mac Pro Tools and make the whole thing. Does that have anything to do with how long it took?
No, well, The 6 year figure has been thrown around a lot, but actually it only took about 2 years. I mean, we just kind of putzed around for 4 years half-heartedly, you know, and we were busy touring and, you know, busy taking care of our families and things like that. So we really didn't get down to business until, 2006.
Right.
Something like that. And,
right.
And that, you know, once we got started, it was about a 2 year process. And we did do recording in different studios. I live in Dallas, and everybody else lives in Southern California, so I did a little bit of recording in Dallas. Also, I have my own recording studio in California, and Glenn has his own studio, so we went back and forth between those studios. And we were, you know, sometimes we were all in the same room together, and sometimes we weren't. But as you say, the new technology makes all that kind of thing possible.
Is that better or worse? Do you ever feel like, as a band, do you miss something of the magic or the energy somehow when you can divide up, or does it only actually enhance it somehow?
I think it's better and worse. You know, the fact is we need to get away from each other sometime.
Sure.
And, you know, when we need to be together, we get together in the same room. But once we get the germ of an idea and we get something started, It works better to go off sometimes and do it in separate groups. You know, we worked in groups of two and three sometimes, and we found that actually it was more expedient that way a lot of times, because we could work on two or three different songs at the same time being in different studios. So in some ways it speeds up the process.
Speaking of getting together, if you could go way back to the photos, there's this whole process of shooting the photography for the very first Eagles album, and there's a pretty funny story that we got off of this pretty funny DVD called Under the Covers about the band, you guys out in the desert, kind of doing, I guess it was a little male bonding, and there's peyote everywhere, and you were going out trying to do the whole Southwest thing. Can you tell us any stories about that? About that experience, because it was pretty damn funny what I had heard.
Back in the old days, I guess in the early 70s, we had a road manager who was a real character, and he hung out with a lot of Native Americans, and we got to hang out with some of the tribes there that were indigenous to Southern California. And we learned some of their religious rituals, some of their spiritual practices, which involved the seed pod from a certain kind of cactus, which is called peyote.
And, right.
And we did that a few times, and it was an interesting experience. It's interesting. Mostly it makes you nauseous.
I hear it can give you night vision goggles, though.
Yeah, you think you can see it. I don't know if you really can or not, but it certainly seemed like it at the time.
Right.
But, you know, it was the early 70s, and there was a lot of that kind of thing going on, and, young people experimenting with this and that and the other. You know, the stuff, at least the stuff wasn't illegal, I don't believe.
And then there was Randy Meisner, who was what? He was, like, riddled with ulcers or something like that, and then he's, like, suffering through this whole guy's trip.
Yeah, Randy had some stomach problems, yeah. He, you know, I think he might have been the first one to throw up. I'm not sure, but it was.
Yeah, you all had him by the end of that night.
Yeah. It was a good time. You know, we were out in the desert a lot in those days. We went out there to get our heads clear and to try to, you know, think of some songs to write. And it was a good cleansing place to be. It's a beautiful out there around Joshua Tree. We were at Joshua Tree long before U2 discovered it. You know, and. Yeah. And we made several trips out there, and it was a good time. We have some hilarious photographs of some of our trips out there. And I think, when you speak of the first album cover photograph, I think we were all pretty much blasted on that stuff when the photos were taken. But those were good times.
You're well known as being something of an idealist. So was it difficult for you to partner with a company like Walmart to distribute your music?
Yes and no. I mean, I was of course aware of Walmart's record of they've had some. Let's put it this way: they've had some trouble with the way they treat some of their employees. There have been several complaints filed about that sort of thing. And I was aware of all that. I was also aware of their environmental record. However, what most of the general public is not aware of is that Walmart has a major environmental initiative that they started several years ago. They have retained some people who have degrees in environmental science and various kinds of degrees in environmental work, and they are working hard on reducing their packaging and reducing their energy use. And they have a very impressive environmental program, and so they sat us down and met with us about all that. And, you know, my dad was a small businessman, and I worked in his shop during the summer times when I wasn't in school. So my heart is really with small business people. But, you know, it's a corporate world we live in. You have to live in the real world. I'm an idealist, but at the same time, I try to live in the real world, and Walmart is part of the real world.
Mm-hmm.
So what we had to do was we had to sit down and say to ourselves, how are a bunch of 60-year-old guys going to get their record out to their fans and sell some records in this depressed economy and in a music business that is basically shrinking every minute? And so our manager had a meeting with the guys at Walmart, and they decided make us an offer that we couldn't refuse. And it worked out quite well for both of us. You know, we've sold well over 3 million copies of this record now, which we would have never done with a major record label. You know, to be perfectly frank, we, the Eagles, and most other artists have been getting screwed by the major labels for several decades now.
Sure.
So we figured, well, Walmart can't be any worse than that. the good thing about it was that it gave our fans 20 new songs for about $12.
Yep.
And it was a good deal for them. You know, and a lot of people, you know, Walmart sells everybody's records. And it wouldn't really have changed the world very much if we had refused to do a deal with them. I mean, just because a handful of artists sit down and say, okay, we're not going to do business with Walmart, is not going to change the world.
Sure, of course.
You know, so the other thing is, when you're doing business with a company, when you're working closely with a company like Walmart, you can sort of keep an eye on them and you can get an insider track on what they're doing. And so, you know, I speak to their environmental people all the time about the latest developments. You know, they're actually working with various kinds of fibers that are environmentally friendly to make their clothing lines out of. As I said, they're going to try to reduce their packaging by 25% and eventually by 50%. They're going to demand that all their suppliers reduce their packaging by the same amount. So I think good things will eventually come out of all this.
The Eagle Show tomorrow night at the Palace of Auburn Hills. What can fans expect?
A little of everything. You know, some of the old, some of the new. You know, we do about a 3-hour show with a 15-minute intermission, and it's always good to play in Michigan. You know, it's that's Glenn's home turf.
Oh God, there was an amazing concert at Tiger Stadium way back when with the Hell Freezes Over tours. And do you have any? I mean, I know God. You know, it's tough because you guys play everywhere, obviously. But do you have any early Detroit memories from back in the day?
I just remember the crowds being great. You know, I remember there being a lot of loud cheering and hollering.
Yep, right.
And
do you have a set list for an Eagles concert? Or is there ever a song that just pops up at a rehearsal and then you guys just will roll with it during performance?
No, we pretty much stick to a list. You know, I mean, there's occasionally we'll do something during an encore. We'll stretch it out and do an extra song or two at the end of the show. But mostly we adhere to the list. You know, Glenn pretty much calls the shots on that. He's the guy who makes up the set list and figures out the order of the set and stuff like that.
When you guys have done solo projects, it is so impressive and so telling how different of a sound each of you will have. I mean, Don Henley, the solo stuff, I think is just brilliant. And it sounds so different, Don Henley solo, as opposed to Don Henley part of the Eagles, and all the guys do. I mean, Glenn's much more, I guess, pop, commercial, whatever, not to make that an insult to him. Just each one of you. And when you do solo stuff, and by the way, you do say that you might be recording another solo album or two before too long, eh?
If I ever get off the road,
right? If you have time,
this tour is going to go on well into 2010, I think. And so I don't know when I'm going to get around to doing this solo stuff, but I'd like to do it. I've got a lot of ideas I'd like to get down, and my contract with Warner Brothers says I owe them two more albums. I think they've pretty much forgotten about it or written it off by now.
Right. You'll get a letter sooner or later.
Yeah.
Do you find it easier to do solo stuff because you've got more of the creative freedom, or is it harder because you have to drive yourself more and kind of be the own boss?
Well, again, it's a little bit of both. I mean, on the one hand, I have to be responsible. I have to take the blame and the praise, you know. It's a little easier because I get to be the boss and I get to call all the shots, and you don't have to do as much compromising, you know, as you do in a group situation. On the other hand, there aren't as many people, you know, like I've always bounced ideas off Glenn and he bounces them off of me, and it's you know, it's nice to have both, to live in both worlds. You know, it's nice to be part of a group and be able to do the group thing, and then it's nice to be able to go off by yourself and do that thing as well. So it's a nice balance.
If you could ever go back in time, is there one particular Eagles song, as an Eagles song, that's ever bugged you just a little bit? Like, if you could just hop back in a time machine, go back and just tweak something, change something, throw in a different instrument, a different mix, something like that, does anything stick out in your mind?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there are several of them I'd like to redo in hindsight.
What's the big one?
I think the one that bothers me the most is Best of My Love.
Really?
What? Yeah.
Wow, now why?
It's whiny.
And see, we would all say it's terrific.
Yeah, I'd like to do it over again and make it more of a rhythm and blues kind of thing, and maybe take that pedal steel guitar off there and make it faster.
Yeah.
You know, I think we could do a better job on that.
And we're all trying to picture that. We're all trying to hear that in our heads right now.
Yeah, well, okay. I hear it every day.
Has this haunted you?
I don't lose sleep over it or anything, but it occurs to me when I hear the record on the radio sometimes.
Right, right.
I saw the Eagles have a MySpace page. Do you have a Twitter account to update fans with?
No.
Good.
I don't even know what Twitter is. I've seen the word lately.
Good. I'm glad, because we were just talking about this week on the morning show, and we're all just so disgusted with the Twittering and too many celebrities Twittering. Who was it? Christopher Walken, I think, that's doing the Twittering with fans.
Really?
Yes, Christopher Walken is doing these like constant Twitters to his fans, and it's kind of like a big bag of who cares, you know?
Yeah,
just do your acting, man.
Here's the thing. I don't have a – you know, some of my friends have been trying to get me to start a Facebook page, too. But I'm just not interested. You know, on this Twittering thing, now that you mentioned that, I don't know if they can do it on Twitter, but on Facebook, people can post phony pages. Somebody put up a page for me a few months ago, and we just took it down recently, and
yep.
I didn't even know it was up there, but it wasn't me.
Yep.
You know, and people are writing in to be your friend and do your Facebook thing and all that and MySpace.
Right.
And
then they get mad at you because
yeah.
they think you're...
And it's not me.
You know? I hear you.
I'm not doing that stuff.
Yep.
That may not even be Christopher Walken, you know? It may be somebody else.
Yeah, you know, you do have a point. I don't know. All right. Hey, Don Henley, we can't thank you enough for spending some time with us this morning. And, of course, Eagles at the Palace tomorrow night of Auburn Hills. It's going to be a great show. Bill and I are going to be there.
We're looking forward to it. We always love playing in Michigan.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll check you out tomorrow night.
Good talking to you.
All right, take care. Don Henley, 94.7 WCSX.